Another episode of Cosmic Crit 2.0, the only Starfinder second edition podcast in the universe. That's hosted by me, your GM Patrick. It's the only one that I am hosting that I know of. And it's also the only podcast that has the gregarious and hilarious gentleman Jabert. Hello, Jabert.
Hey, greetings, Patrick. Thank you for having me on this podcast that we're both on.
You know what? I was a little iffy about the last like 347 times I've invited you back to the podcast. And this time, though, I was pretty solid in feeling confident you'd show up. Yeah. How are you doing tonight, bud?
I'm doing well. I'm in my personal life. I'm wrapping up a grad program and,
oh boy,
and dad duties, and it's all very busy, but it's good. And I'm always glad to have an opportunity to play some of these games, because these have lower stakes than my final exams.
Oh my. I'm going to find a way to tie the game into your professional lives. Like, I'm going to contact your professor if your character dies. I'm gonna be like, I don't know if you want to pass this fool.
This guy is not taking his coursework seriously.
He didn't heal himself when he had the option. He didn't heal up to full. I'm gonna tell on you and Tyler and Drew and Rebecca to you guys as kids. I'm gonna tell your kids, like, yeah, your parents are just bad at games.
Not good at it. School.
They didn't heal up. Yeah. Well, speaking of your children, we've got a one-on-one episode tonight with one of your favorite children, Zeldin.
It's my baby boy, my sweet boy.
So, unlike your real life child, who you at least you picked half of the genes that you wanted to contribute. Right. Zeldin completely
randomly. Rolled completely randomly. So
yeah, no say whatsoever in what DNA was going in. Although you've tempted the universe by apparently picking the ancestry that Tyler wanted originally, randomly, which is very hilarious. Yeah, we've settled on the blind deaf doggo. Yep. And I don't know. How much do you want to get into who this character is based off of?
I mean, I'm happy to talk about it. I mean, like, we have a friend who we play our IRL Pathfinder game with, who has a
Patreon. Folks will know Pat, not Patrick.
Yeah. Who has a dog named Zelda. And Zelda is a sweet, sweet husky dog who is both absolutely blind and absolutely deaf, and the world is just a very confusing place for her. But whenever I come over, she can always smell me and she always gets excited.
So. I saw her last week and I petted her for like a full minute, and then when I stopped, she started howling like, "Where are you? Get back here." I was back. Like literally like a foot away. I was like, "Okay, calm down."
Because she can't tell how far you are.
Yeah. But it's great. She's very excited as soon as new people come in, and she's the nicest dog in the world.
One of the sweetest dogs, yeah.
And then
she's great with my daughter and like
God, with everyone. And whenever I take my terrible devil dog over to their backyard, she's always so mean because she doesn't understand. Dogs don't understand disabilities. They're just raging ableists. She'll try to like nip at her back legs. But yeah, Zelda's great. And Zeldan is also a lot of fun. And yeah, it's very fun that we've got the space cat Hithayun and the drift doggo Zeldin talking about this one-on-one. You know, our audience members have, if they've listened to Dead Men Roll No Crits, I've heard you and I do this a couple of times with a pirate character, several pirate characters in that campaign. And yeah, that's what I wanted to bring forward into Starfinder, to tell a little bit of the backstory and the backstory for Zeldin, I'm having take the form of journal entries from the doggo's time on Polonus, also known as Vesk 6, I believe. The Vesk planet of the Patra. Original Patra. I have written up some journal entries to start off each section. Do you want to read them?
Yeah, I'm happy to. That sounds good.
Go right ahead. In your character's iconic voice of...
that iconic voice that everyone knows and loves. It sounds so different from Burton's voice.
Sorry, and this has a Vescarium reckoning date. 217-322, which maybe that was the date when I started writing this. I don't remember, but go right ahead.
Let's see here. Vescarium reckoning date 217-322. Dear Diary, I am writing this on old-fashioned pencil and paper because of my data pad. It doesn't like the magnetosphere here on Polonus. I touched down planet side just today, and the situation here is grim. Capital of the Vesk influence on the planet is called Command 6, and they're bad at naming things. And it is a highly militarized, and it is highly militarized, and half the city is restricted.
I'm end of
journal entry.
I hate myself that Zeldin didn't call the situation on the planet side rough. As you're reading that, I was like, what's going on, Patrick? Are you okay? Just asleep at the wheel writing this. No, yeah, you had to get like an old-fashioned wheeled conveyance to your hotel because very little electronics work planet size. There's very large pockets of interference that stops a lot of technology. The Vesk kind of brute force a lot of their tech to work on the planet. They have a
series of very long extension cords.
Well, something like a 500-pound security robot is actually like 1,000 pounds because they have a ton of shielding and things on it for the electromagnetic. And, it looks like this is taking place in the 1970s because just like a data pad is like a massive brick. It's like someone's holding a Wheaties box. A cell phone is, like one of those giant car cell phones. Yeah. And, you're going to have to get out on the planet, meet locals to like figure out what's going on. There's not much in the way of infosphere connection here. Maybe the Vescarium's clamped down on that. So getting the lay of the land, you got to use old school maps and handwritten notes. Jabro, when was the last time you printed out a map to navigate somewhere? Like Yahoo Maps.
Oh, man. I feel like I can remember the date that I did that.
Early 2000s.
Yeah. It was in 2009, I think.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it might have been 2008. But I remember it specifically because I was living up in Medford, Mass. I was driving down to Brookline for something, and so I had these printed out Google Maps directions, and I got so lost. I didn't make it back to my house for hours because I was so turned around and kept stopping and asking for directions, and people were pointing me every which way, and
it's confusing to get around there.
It's a challenge. Anyway, it was before I had a GPS, and so that year for Christmas, my parents got me a GPS. and I never looked back, and I've never thought about maps since then. I've just pretended like they didn't exist.
Yeah, I would be completely messed if cell phones went down all of a sudden. I'd be like, I've got no idea how to get anywhere. On this planet.
You just see me out on the street corner with a stick and a rock just banging them together.
What do you think brought Zeldin to this planet during this kind of growing tension between the Patra natives, the Vescarium?
I think Zeldin has had some experience working with sort of resistance cells against the Vescarium in other places. And because of the shift in resources to Polonus, I got a communication of some sort suggesting that there were some folks down here planet side that could use the help of an old grizzled veteran.
A 5-year-old old man. A
5-year-old in dog years, it's old. It's real.
I was about to say, yeah. You say you've perhaps scrapped with the Vescarium before on other planets. Do you think Zeldin's got a grudge against the Vesk?
Oh yeah. Well, not against the Vesk specifically, but against the Vescarium, certainly. They're,
the machine, yeah.
Yeah, the military industrial complex.
Against Rebecca.
Rebecca specifically.
How dare she?
Really specifically Rebecca is the problem.
I'm gonna tie her backstory in and just make like every decision she makes have messed over all the other characters in some way. She like, you know, worked for a company that like made the hardware that blocked out Tyler's brain or something. Everyone hates Rebecca. That's the new name of the podcast.
I don't want to spoil this for other listeners, but if listeners haven't heard Andor or haven't watched all of Andor, mm-hmm. Everyone pull your ears real quick. 3, 2, uh-huh. 1. Here comes the spoiler. I love that moment at like like towards the end of season 2. Have you not finished it?
I haven't finished season 2 now.
Oh no. Okay. Well,
you can say whatever you want. I'm just plugging my ears.
When Cyril and Andor like finally meet, and Cyril's like, "I'm gonna kill you," and Andor's like, "I don't know who you are." Okay,
excellent.
They can unplug your. Now you can unplug your your ears. I told that spoiler to the universe for no reason at all. Apparently,
hey man, people listen and be like, "Yeah, I remember that."
Yeah, that happened one time. Yeah.
So once Zeldin gets out and about on the planet, indeed, you find it very rigidly controlled by the Vesk. There's a population of struggling Patra here in Command 6, but most are trying to survive on the outskirts of this city and other major cities on the planet. Out in the jungle, there's healthcare needs not being met out there. Basic food and water is, you know, kind of sporadic. And the Vesk Overseer, a commander known as High Despot Cavradraws, has pretty much spent the entire planet's Vescarium budget on security concerns, beefing up robotic security forces and paying the Vescarium soldiers that guard the planet very well, but leaving very little for humanitarian aid. And he seems extremely concerned about security, and that's really only made tensions higher here. There's many young Patra that have kind of made it out of the Vescarium, have left the service themselves, and are not really interested in the political body of the Vesk any longer. One of those cats, none other than Hithayun Delacour, space cat adventurer. I've got another Vescarium reckoning date entry for you to read here, Jabbar. Look at this.
Vescarium reckoning date 5/09/322.
It's like May 9th.
Does February have 28 days in the Vescarium?
Sure.
Yeah. this date's not divisible by 4. That year's not divisible by 4. There's no leap year this year. Yeah, about roughly 2.5 months later. Today I traveled to the outer jungle perimeter and I met a tribe of tree hunters and met someone from far away, a space traveler, Patra, known as Hithayun. High Despot Cavadraz has declared martial law in Command 6 as a powder keg, and it's ready to blow. And I was trying to think of a good dog pun. Listeners, if you can think of good dog puns that I should have said, you write in.
Is ready to bow blow. Bow wow.
Bow wow?
Bow blow. It doesn't work. But yeah, so this is where indeed you've met Hithayun Delacour for the first time. He introduces himself. He's like, "Hey there, doggo. The name's Hithayun Delacour."
I sniff his butt.
All right. I'm calling the police.
Very politely.
Oh, okay. Just like your head tilts to the side and you're just like, nice.
Good. A good head on his butt shoulders.
All right. Well, Hithayun Delacour and interplanetary escapades are my Jimmy Jam. That's something Miles would say, right?
Yeah. He's always talking about Jim Jams.
I've heard from some of my people here, Zeldin. You've been helping out with the effort, perhaps, to throw Faye off the scale shackles of the Escve.
Yes, that's right. Sorry. It's been a long time since I've taken Latin.
Cat Latin here on.
That's right. Right. Yeah, I've had tangles with them before, and they can be quite brutal in their methods. I'm not too bad in a scrap, but as I can see now, you are all there's a great need for healers and here in this zone of the space jungle.
Yeah, that we need a lot of healers. That's for sure. Our access to medical care in the cities is, you know, you'll get an appointment 6 months from now if you're lucky.
Oh my god!
For your leg falling off.
That is truly the worst healthcare I've ever heard of.
And also you have to pay an HMO for the privilege to have your leg cut off. But yeah. Do you want to do a little bit more for the cause than hand out Band-Aids?
I've been waiting for somebody to say that, and I take my Band-Aids and I rip them up into little pieces.
Whoa, no. We'll need those still. Oh, we'll need those still.
I glue them back together again.
Those are like 10 credits a box, please. how willing do you think Hithyun would be willing to go to war with a corrupt high despot just like Kavradas?
Ooh.
Kavradas.
Wait, sorry. How ready do I think Hithyun would be or Zeldin would be?
Both.
I guess we're both gonna have to do it if we're gonna do it. Yeah, let's say
in for a penny.
Let's call it. I had a thing I was gonna say, but yes.
Oh, okay.
There you go. Well, okay, I say very slowly.
Do you think your character likes Hithyun, who, for all intents and purposes, is just Miles right away? Did you like Miles right away? I did not like Miles right away. Miles was an acquired taste. Yeah, we only started hanging out at like 5 years after we met somewhere in there.
I mean, like, I think, I mean, so the, when I suppose when I first met him, he didn't make a huge impression on me. So when we started doing this podcast together, I was like, who?
Classic. You
know, we went to college together.
Yes, and you were in his grade, right?
We were 1 year apart. But yeah. So I think they get along reasonably well from the start. It's going to take a bit of an adjustment period for them to really jive. But I think they'll get along reasonably nicely from the jump.
All right, we're fast forwarding with the next journal entry, these handwritten journal entries.
Dear diary, I'm thinking about asking Hithyun out to the dance. The Scarium Reckoning date, 8/22/322.
It's 3 months later.
It's the end of the summer now.
You guys have been friends for 3 months.
We're friends. We're good friends. Finish each other's sandwiches. The fighting these last 3 months has been dog eat dog on the planet Polonus, as the cats have tried to scratch out a victory.
Oh! There we go. I finally turned on my writing brain. That's right.
I saw you get up and like walk back and turn on the writing lights behind you.
Just like light bulb above my head. It's like
right over your head. You'd have an idea. Protests in Command 6 have turned violent, and we've had to militarize in order to protect refugees from being rounded up by the High Despot's shield squads and deported off planet. Thayun and I have a plan to strike back at the Fesk Command. Doing so might mean an all-out war with the Imperium. Oh yeah, let's do it.
Indeed, there's been brutal fighting in the streets the last few months as a lot of unarmed Patra have resisted. Those who have had, you know, wanted posters drawn up for them have had to retreat into the jungle. Community organizers, there they've regrouped, gather supplies, resistance fighters, before coming in, mustering another sortie in High Command 6. Large-scale kind of protests, riots where need be to try to push back Vesk forces. And the entire time, there's been a very charismatic secret leader of the resistance known as who's rallied the Patra people under the unified goal of throwing the Vesk off of S6 entirely and trying to return self-governance back to the Patra clans.
I like it.
Yesho has been sending secret broadcasts out via the hacked Vescarium infosphere, and you can download them at, like, you know, computer terminals on your giant brick zunes and listen to the podcast later. But you're listening to one as we watch Hithayun and Zeldin and some other freedom fighters infiltrating the high command base.
Oh, yeah.
You hear a digitized voice saying, "Our mates, Clan Claws, this is the voice of Geisho coming from deep in the jungle. We've skirmished with the Vesk forces once more, we've been beaten by their superior firepower, their tanks, their robots, but they have not yet once won a victory over Patra determination, Patra gusto." We watch as you and Hithayun, this crack team of infiltrators, steal into the Vescarium military facility past a sign that's marked robotic security operations.
It's marked no sneaking.
No sneaking
allowed.
No kitty cats. No slinking. That's what cats do, right? There's the sound of the digitized resistance leader kind of being broadcast over your comms, your headsets. She continues saying, "Vesk conquerors believe that they are the superior military might, and so they're required to protect this planet. But they are only superior in technology. The Patra have superior numbers. We have superior tactics, and we have the superior moral high ground, standing for the liberation of our planet." As you crack open the door to the facility here and slink inside past the no-slinking sign, Hithayun whispers over to you. He's like, hey, dog boy, how many Vesk do you smell inside here? What's that number? You want to give me a perception check?
Yeah, and give you a perception sniff. Oh, I found my bouncing D20.
Where was it?
It was like, okay, so like I was wearing that hoodie and like it's, I checked like the middle pocket so many times, but it was like way like in the corner, like tucked way into like the little, like in the seam.
Jabert lost at my house. And I checked every inch of the floor where it could have bounced. But one of the other dice bounced into my wife's lap. So it was also like by her tummy.
Then there was like confusion about like, wait, did you lose this one? This isn't a D20. I was like, no, I can't find my D20. They're like, no, this one fell into my lap.
You should only slam that dice. Just like spike it. Like the, you just ran right, 80 yards into the end zone.
Cool. All right, guys, let's go figure out if I got a natural one or not.
Go for the walk.
We'll go find. I rolled a 15.
Okay, that is enough. Indeed, as you sniff down the hallway, walking slowly in front of you, you do get a sense there's something else in here with you.
Stinky lizard. Does it smell like a lizard?
You do. You smell, yeah, not anything recent Vesk-wise, but you hear what sounds like heavy metal guitar licks. There's rhythmic chanting. You can kind of smell burnt incense and candle smoke. But as you concentrate and...
Be careful, Hithayun. Something super rad is happening inside. Something super cool is going on.
You concentrate and realign your sentence and all those smells and sounds disappear.
Oh, okay.
Replaced by the smells of machine oil and Vesk scales. Indeed, there's a Vesk right up ahead around the corner. And as he turns, you hear a voice call out, "Wow, what are you all doing here? Patra agitators! You chose violence if you don't leave this place right now."
I guess I don't leave the place right now. I guess I've kind of already decided to choose violence, I feel like.
Yeah, you're in a combat zone, and the other freedom fighters are getting ready their weapons fighting against this Vesk.
Wait, so have I... Is there anybody that I think is in his line of sight? Like, do I think I've been spotted, or is it possibly somebody else on my team?
It's all of you guys.
Oh,
he said,
great.
He said, Patra agitators.
Oh, he's done been seen. I didn't do good on my stealth roll, which checks out.
Well, it's a large group, so
there's somebody was gonna fail that thing. Yeah,
the the porcine, the very large pink cat who kind of looks like a pig person, Pronkins.
He's Porkins, like, oh,
sorry, guy. he's eating like potato chips, crunchy potato chips. But yeah, a firefight breaks out as robots are firing electronic pulse caster blasts down the hallway at you. You hear Hathayun calling out. It's like, oh, Zeldin, looks like we're either going to have to find those controls and shut this place down, the robots with it, or we're going to sit out the rest of the revolution in a Vesk labor camp. Follow me.
All right. Chase after.
Yeah, he puts his hand on your shoulder and you guys move away from this fight down the hallway another direction. There's burnt ozone and maybe gunpowder from some of your Patra freedom fighters. You can smell behind you. Come to a door and the Thion says, hey, here, I think this must be the main power for the base. If you can cover me, I can cut through these wires and we might be able to disable communications to robot security all over High Command 6. Just yeah. Watch my back, Zeldin. I mean, kind of smell my back. You know what I mean?
I'll sniff it. You're all good, buddy.
Over comms, you hear Geisho saying, oh, our conviction shall be our calling card. We devote ourselves to our future and lifting the veil of darkness that has settled over our planet, Polonus. The sunshine that will fall on our treetops tomorrow will not be filtered through Vesk clouds and starships. We call for the Vesk military to recall their warships and leave this world once and for all.
As I very quietly go, yay. I sort of cheer very quietly to myself.
As you're sniffing for enemy combatants once more, you hear a tasty, mournful dirge on electric guitar. Just you can smell mystic oils and fires burning, but something in you shifts and you have barely time to sense a robotic threat. A security drone sneaking up on Hathayun.
No, Hathayun, there's a sneaky droid. It said, the sign said no sneaking, but they were sneaking anyway.
Make me a reflex save.
Right. Oh, no. That's a natural two.
Great. You are able to push Hathayun out of the way, your Patra friend. But what seems like a concentrated chest blast flash bang has gone off. Almost seemingly right in your face as your already milky vision leaves you. Your hearing aid is blasted off. And distantly, you can feel maybe Hathayun's Solarian weapon forming and a fight ensuing.
I'm stumbling around. It's all crazy.
Do you want to fight a... Well, actually, yeah. We'll get this here. As this happens, maybe you can ready your gun, but yeah, in your blackened vision, you're not sensing the fight in front of you. Maybe not the heat from the Solarian's weapon or the vibrations of the robot's footfalls in front of you. You see something in the darkness here, a single altar where incense burns, candles are lit, and there's a pedestal upon it, a darkened pool of opaque black liquid with some freshly cut roses just kind of floating in it. And you sense in front of you a statue on top of it as well. And you can almost hear that music again, perhaps chanting in your ears. Do you walk up to said altar?
I approach the altar.
And yeah, it does just sound like ringing in your ears at first, but you hear in your mind's eye, perhaps, your mind's ear, a voice call out, whispering at first, Zeldin, Zeldin.
Who is it? Ah.
You have sacrificed so much for others. You take their pain away, but can you make their pain your own?
Oh, that's not like a... Sorry, I thought that was rhetorical. Okay,
quite literal.
Oh, I don't understand. What is this? Where is Hathayun?
You feel...
Am I dead?
You feel a hand on your shoulder, but see no one there. But you do sense a cup in your hand. Drink of the water, Zeldin. Gain the powers of the eternal. Find out what lies beyond this veil of darkness.
I will take their pain. And I take a big swig. Wait, I smell it first. Does it smell okay?
Smells real dark.
Okay. Oh, well, okay, man. I love it. I love that. Okay. Yeah, I drink the dark liquid.
Yeah, maybe a little dark juice. Floral, but it definitely feels heavy. It just feels like you're drinking midnight in a glass.
Oh, do I still hear that cool music?
Yeah, I think it picks up there. It's a crescendo now. I need to get some copyright guitar riffs. Yeah, as you maybe look down at what you've just drank, you see your reflection in the water before you. And it's maybe the first time in your life your vision hasn't been blurred by cataracts or milky kind of peripherals. You've got a perfect reflection, and you can see your eyes are as black and blank now as the water you're looking into. There's maybe a little bit of blood dripping from your where your tears would be. But as you look away from this reflection, you've got a power that is instilled within you. And we see Zeldin turn into a beast, a different beast, a beast that is able to...
A different kind of beast. It's not like being a werewolf. I'm like, I'm already kind of a werewolf right now, but I'm like, I turned into a man.
I mean, you blast out with holy power, healing your friend Hithion, who's taken some beatings from this robot. But we are in combat, and you have 3 hero points. Hithion indeed is you know more on the defensive, and is like, oh, Zeldin, it's good that you're alive, but can you give me a little help here? You can focus in, you can tell exactly where he's standing smell wise indeed, there's a robot clang 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 right on top of him.
I know.
Yeah, you're up first in the initiative turn order here. Hithion, you're kind of just radiating an aura of healing. He's like, oh, yeah, whatever you're doing feels great. what would you like to do?
Imagine
you have your gun with you.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I guess I don't see, right? I can't see anything, but I can just tell where people are.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, cool. I'm gonna sniff the air and aim for the robot that's coming down the hallway at us. So he's coming right for us.
Yeah, use that real dice. We don't need roll 20 where we're going.
Okay, I need to use that one of those hero points because I rolled a natural 1.
Oh boy! Oh no!
Oh boy! I really did get blind. Oh no! 19, that's what I'm talking about, natural 19.
Ooh, nice, okay. So I'm pretty sure that'll be a critical hit. You've got at least a plus 5. Go ahead and I guess you'd still have a miss chance? Is that right?
No, it's a precise. I have a precise sense, so I mean... Well,
you're
just
blasting this robot.
Yeah, so...
You know exactly where it's at, so that's no problem.
Okay, cool.
Damage.
I have a D6 around here somewhere.
Just roll the D20 and divide it by 3.5.
I got the one with our
cosmic crit D6. Crit
colors. Yeah, my cosmic crit D6. 4.
Okay. With a crit, that is enough to blast a hole straight through this thing. thought this might be more than a single round of combat here, but no. What is it? Does it have? It has a reaction, but it's not one that stops it from dying. Yeah, a clean little hole right through its chest cavity, right where the grenade blasted you a moment ago. Falls down over Hithion, who quickly dodges out of the way. And as soon as you take it down, I was like, oh, I didn't know what you did back there, but you saved my life, dog. D-A-W-G.
Yeah.
I owe you something big. Well, I owe this planet a fighting chance. And we got a mission to finish here.
Let's do it.
He turns his Solarian weapon back into a massive curved blade, slices through these thick insulated power lines of the facility. And as we pull back, we see robots all over the city of Command 6, these patrol bots that are forming like walls between protesters and things like that. They all begin to malfunction and fall over at the waist. And you hear reports through your comms of Vesk soldiers retreating from their posts as angry mobs begin to form in the streets. You guys can meet up with the rest of your freedom fighters, the The robots in the hallway they were fighting are all destroyed, and the Vesk guards, the few Vesk guards, have been knocked unconscious and tied up.
Taking naps.
There's the Patra freedom fighters draw funny mustaches and angry eyebrows on their scales. It's like color in the scales, so that look gives one of them a Groucho Marx mustache and like a little cigar. There's some EMP devices that are planted in the computer's control room here, and we watch as a shower of sparks explodes out of the building as you all escape and make your way back into the jungle.
Oh yeah.
You know, there's I can't stop writing journal entries, so I got another one for you.
Let's do it. All right. Beskarium Reckoning date 9/14/322. We secured a victory. But
I was about to say I made that one my birthday. That's fun.
It's your birthday. That's fun. That's good. We secured a victory in Command 6, but the fighting hasn't stopped as we only provoked the High Despot Cavadras to declare war on Geisho and the Patra Uprising. The Vesk have mobilized for jungle combat, and we have retreated to the treetop village that locals call the Scratch Post 7 to lick our wounds and also to lick other parts of our bodies that they are, so that they are also clean. I've learned much from these cats.
Ever since the raid of Command 6, fighting indeed has intensified across the planet. But yeah, the Vesk come back strong. They get reinforcements off planet, and now they're on the offensive. You guys have to be on the defense a little bit. Hithayun has kind of taken a liking to hanging out with you. You've got a small squad of trusted cats and some other off-worlders here, sharing meals of fancy feasts over treetop fires. He hands you a plate of mushed up fish guts and says, "Oh, wow, those powers that you gained, Zeldin, they're something else. You've been able to keep our soldiers in good spirits, heal wounds with them. We've suffered no casualties since the fight at the robotics facility. What is this that you've discovered about, you call it Zon Shaylin? Who is this?"
I'm not totally sure. When that grenade went off, was that a grenade? It was a grenade, right?
Yeah, it's like a bomb.
A bomb, yeah. That explosive device went off, whether it be bomb or grenade, I don't know. I'm not taxonomically interested in weapons per se. Right before my eyes went dark, I heard a voice, and I remember there was a cup, but yes,
it's a shame there wasn't some rad music playing well. That would have been cool.
I wish I could remember if there was rad music or not, but I guess it's lost the time. I remember there was music. Maybe I'll write a song that's like kind of like what the music was kind of like, but it wouldn't be as cool as the music. I guess I'll call it "This Is Like a Tribute." and I'll explain the mysterious ways of Zon Shaylin as I understand them. About the god who can come to people who are in dire straits and extreme pain, and will not offer to relieve them of their pain, but will allow them to find meaning in their pain. And
that sounds pretty good. Whatever these god siblings of yours have in store for you, but I don't know, hokey religions and ancient weapons. No match for a Solarian blade at your side, kid. But yeah, once we throw off these Vesk, get them right off Polonus.
These pesky Veskies. You know,
these pesky Veskies. That's what I call them. Yep. Now, we should work together sometime. We should go on a beach vacation or get jobs together.
Yeah. If we get out of this alive, for sure.
I'll put you in touch with my Absalom contact, Emozi. Who he sends me some jobs every once in a while. He's Viscarium himself, so he's pretty impressed with what we're doing here. Yeah, you know, he's pretty reliable. He gave me some duds before, some Starfinder Society work.
Blech.
Yeah,
am I right?
But yeah, you can take Emozi's card, which is just a scrap of paper where
I have to ask somebody else to read it for me.
Thayan has literally scratched with his finger. Emozy. No, you can feel because he's like perforated the finger. It's like a stamp. And yeah, indeed, as you drift off to sleep that night, the ninth month, the 14th day of the ninth month, you can dream once more of Zhan Shaylin, those sweet guitar riffs, the Vaseline-covered soft focus of the dream. You see just black liquid dripping and red roses falling as you drift off to sleep. Jabert, what do you think, indeed, the gods have in store for Zeldin?
If it's like what, you know, most stories where the gods get involved, nothing great, nothing good.
No way, it's always cool. They always give you some power in exchange for tons of responsibility and or holy missions.
Yeah, and or your life. Yeah. So
you're totally the panic button if the party gets TPKs, by the way. Zhan Shaylin's coming down, like, all right, everyone gets one. Raises you up.
Yeah, so that's I can't begin to guess. I mean, you know, as I sort of mentioned to you, like, a couple of times, it's like, I'm kind of, you know, I think I started with like a more specific sort of idea of like who Zeldin was, but like, playing Zeldin a little bit, I'm sort of discovering that's not really who this character is. And so I'm still trying to like find the character in the moment.
Well, hopefully this helped a little bit. Yeah. We'll have more to talk about with the Zeldin in the future, and maybe more about the journey and Zhan Shaylin as well in this adventure. Or maybe not. Maybe it's something that's ongoing, you know? I don't think everyone needs their spiritual revelation immediately. Could be Zeldin at the ripe age of 20 on his doggy deathbed finally gets visited by Zhan Shaylin. Like, yeah, we didn't think you would drink that black liquid with all the roses on it, but you totally did.
You totally did. That was kind of crazy, kind of rad, like, dude. You totally shouldn't have done that. We were gonna like if you'd given us another second, we'd be like, you can drink this or we'll give you $1 million. And oh boy, you just went for it. It was crazy. I've never seen somebody drink it that fast. You're supposed to take one sip, you psychopath.
You just pick up the entire basin and you're like a punch bowl. Yeah, that's all we've got here. All I have for Zeldin Gutter Young. We are, you know, we still have more than half of this adventure to go, which I'm excited about. I'm also kind of excited about the length, because I don't think it's going to take much longer than like a year or so, which feels good to me. I don't know. We've had multiple seasons that have gone on like 2 years. And so like by the end of it, we're like, oh boy, how can these characters die faster?
Right. Well, I mean, it's often like, weren't we just trying to like deliver like a letter for somebody? Couldn't this have been an email technically?
Nope, you're saving the universe once again. We have a brief description of the next adventure path already, which is exciting.
What's that?
Well, it sounds very different from everything else Iso has done so far.
Do a bunch of dwarves want us to go and investigate a big rock?
No, it's different, I said. So different. Give me 1 second. Can you imagine if that was it, though?
Honestly, that'd be hilarious. I would love it. I would love it if they were like just trying to make dwarves hire you to go look at a rock as like the new, you all find yourselves in a tavern.
Oh, well, it's so funny that there is a Starfinder Society scenario that I think has a Akatonian bar in it. I was like, oh man, this should be every Starfinder adventure. No, the Starfinder 2E adventure subscription, the next one, I've got it here. I've got the release schedule here. Is called,
he's got it.
He's got it right here.
He's got it.
It's right here. I swear to gosh. It's called Tales from the Vast. It's coming out in May. So it might be out when this episode is coming out for a lot of folks. And I think it's going to be multiple kind of like mini adventures tied together, as opposed to like one super long adventure. So I'm excited about it regardless. Nice. But yeah, that's all the time we've got for this week. These episodes will be kind of nestled in with other ones, maybe breaking up a little bit of the monotony of parts two or parts three of our adventure. Jabert, thanks so much for playing with me this week.
Thank you, Patrick. I appreciate it, man. Thank you for doing all this writing and for doing all this GMing.
No problem. No problem. Listeners, thanks for listening. We'll catch you on the next week's Cosmic Crit, and you get to say goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
Definitive end of the episode.
Yeah.
Or you could say ARG, you know, whatever you want to do.
Oh, right. Yeah,
YARG. This story is to be continued on the next episode of Cosmic Crit. You've been listening to the Cosmic Crit podcast. The Starfinder role-playing game and its adventure paths are trademarks of Paizo. All Pathfinder and Starfinder images are property of Paizo and used with permission.